Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 416, the stanzas 1 and 3. As the heart about to falter in its trembling agony, panteth for the brooks of water, as so my soul doth pant for thee, and what follows. Psalter 416, the stanzas 1 and 3. portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Psalm 68, the verses 1 through 20. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 68, the first 20 verses. To the chief musician, a psalm or song of David. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, as so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God, yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God, sing praises unto his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Thy congregation that dwelt therein, thou, O God, hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. The Lord gave the word, great was the company of those that published it. Kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil. Though ye have lien among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. when the Almighty scattered kings in it. It was white as snow in Salmon. The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan, and high hill as the high of Bashan. Why leap ye, ye high hills? This is the hill which God desireth to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them as in Sinai, in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, it is thy good and thy gracious hand that has gathered us and our dear children on this Lord's Day by renewal within the walls of thy house of prayer. And then thou granteth many reasons to repeat what the psalmist has exclaimed, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits." And they are blessings and benefits in the midst of the trials of life, which thou bestoweth so richly, so liberally, and so undeservedly. And may it please thee in this moment to grant profound impressions thereof, that we may be humbled thereunder. But then we have also heard that the psalmist has added, "Even the God of our salvation." And to that end, Lord, we humbly beg of thee that in this hour that thou may work lovingly and powerfully by thy Holy Spirit in the hearts of young and old, impress upon all our minds and especially upon our hearts that we are traveling and hastening to a never-ending eternity. And thou hast declared in thy word, "Except that a man is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." Lord, may it then please thee to convert what is unconverted. May many have come up with that request. Perhaps many have even forgotten to ask for conversion. Perhaps discouragement, and maybe think that it shall not take place. But thou hast promised in thy house in a special way to work. May it then please the king in this hour to take arrows out of his quiver, arrows dipped in blood and in love, arrows of conviction, and may they be shot into the hearts of the king's enemies and be slain upon the battlefield of free and sovereign grace, that they may become new creatures with new longings, with new desires, uncovered to their sin, and also to be led further. Thou knowest how that each have come up. May there have come up thirsty, hungry, longing, and desiring souls who were allowed to beg a little at the throne of grace, that in this afternoon they may receive a special favor of thy token, a token of thy favor, but also further, the further leadings of grace, because thou hast a people upon the earth, whom thou teachest with all their repentance, with their works, with their choice, that they cannot satisfy justice. And now it is the work of the Spirit to glorify Christ in the heart of poor sinners. May it please thee to do it in this hour. We commend this people unto thee, the consistory, thy servant. May the labors be blessed. Bless the means of grace in the church. Help fathers and mothers to instruct their dear children. And then we may acknowledge and thank thee that in this past year, another school year has come to a close. Was a very solemn school year. 3 students ushered into eternity. Then in a special way we commend unto thee those whom have graduated. Wilt thou place a fiery wall round about them, keep them from sin and temptation, and above all glorify thy grace in their young hearts. We commend unto thee thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth, the established churches, the persecuted church, the beloved for the Father's sake, mission work also our mission field. Wilt thou remember the father and mother with their 2 little children, who hope to travel to Bolivia in this week, where everything shall be so new. May they be given to experience that thou art an everywhere present God, and that thou knowest of them. And also when they resume their language studies, that thou may be their helper ever near, with an eye upon the purpose, and that is the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. Remember the temporal needs. Continue to provide for our daily bread. Remember the mourning ones, the elderly ones, all those that are under the physician's care in special ways. Remember the crosses and burdens. Do bless the family circles. May love abound. And those that are struggling with addictions and temptations, wilt thou help, wilt thou deliver them? We commend our country unto thee, wherein this week then our country hopes to commemorate another birthday, where notwithstanding all our God-provoking sins, despising of thy word, trampling upon thy commandments, killing the unborn, desecrated the Sabbath day, our sins are many, and notwithstanding, then thou continuest in thy great patient long-suffering to bless us as a nation. But, O Lord, we must say with the prophet of old, the crown has fallen from our head, Woe unto us that we have sinned, and then we have reasons with the psalmist to exclaim, my flesh trembleth because of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. But our Lord, who sees it, who takes it to heart, who was burdened therewith, and who truly comes in the inner chamber, who becomes the guilty one, Lord, may it please thee that thou may yet show a little mercy. But if there is no repentance, then the judgments must come. And who shall live when thou doest these things? And to that end, may thy church be given to see and understand, because thou hast written in thy holy word that the time is come, that judgment must begin at the house of God, when thy church is no more the salt and a light upon a hill, when thy church is no more an interceding church, then the judgments are close at hand. And Lord, under these circumstances, may it please thee to grant by thy Holy Spirit that for us and our children there may be a hastening for our life's sake, that we may be given to seek for a place of shelter, and that is under the wings of Emmanuel. To that end, work lovingly and richly by thy Pentecostal Spirit. We humbly ask thee for the opening of thy word, a few simple words to speak, and that thy word may go forth with power divine. And so we have many matters to lay before thee, and we have absolutely nothing to plead upon. Our sins are great and manifold. We do well to pause and consider them all. They are written in thy book, and thy justice demands satisfaction. Ah, Lord, to that end, then we may plead only upon thy mercy. 'Tis the work of a triune God. We are so privileged yet above most of the people upon the face of the earth to be under the external administration of the covenant of grace. But thou was also written, unto whom much is given, much shall be required. Lord, pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 286, the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 6. O come, my soul, bless thou the Lord thy Maker, and all within me bless his holy name. That was 284, 286. He waters the hills with rain from the skies, and plentiful grass and herbs he supplies. And what follows? 286, 1, 2, 3, and 6. in this afternoon hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Psalm 68 and there of the 9th verse, where God's word and our text reads thus, "Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary." Our text words speak of a plentiful rain as an emblem of the work of the Holy Spirit. With four thoughts in the first place, the need for this plentiful rain. Secondly, the giver of this plentiful rain. Thirdly, the blessing upon this plentiful rain. And in the fourth place, the contextual praise for this plentiful rain. A plentiful rain as an emblem of the work of the Holy Spirit. The need, the giver, the blessing, and the contextual praise for this plentiful rain. Beloved hearers, it has pleased the Lord in His great goodness and in His faithfulness in the time that lies behind to refresh the thirsty earth with refreshing rains. And then after a rain, then how often the question is asked, how much rain did you receive? How much was in the rain gauge? Is that question also asked in a spiritual way? Does it sometime happen? And of course, when we have received nothing, no rain, then that is a very uncomfortable question. Same in John 21, when those 7 disciples have fished the whole night, "Children, have ye any meat?" And then they had to answer no. Is that question sometime asked at the end of a Lord's day between husband and wife, how it was in God's house? Then, boys and girls, we have all seen the rainfall. And what was now spoken about in the family circles? Oh, I hope at least, because fathers and mothers, then the Lord grants special opportunities to speak to our children concerning the Lord and that one thing needful, and that at least that we have spoken to our children how good the Lord is, how faithful, and for a sinful and an unworthy people. But also a beautiful opportunity to speak of spiritual things, because rain, water, when we study the scriptures, then in the first place it refers to the work of a triune God. In Jeremiah 2 verse 13, There the prophetess said to Israel, thou hast committed two evils. Thou hast left the cistern of living water, that is God, especially the God of providence, and who know broken cisterns which can hold no water. In John 4, when Jesus must needs go through Samaria, and blessed those places where there is a must needs be, then Jesus was given to speak of himself as those everlasting waters, and also the work of the Holy Spirit, and that is what especially the work of the Holy Spirit is represented by the waters flowing forth. And thus we may see the source of that water, a triune God. But now we read in Psalm 46, verse 4, the rivers of water which may glad the city of God. And then, of course, we must separate, but they can never be disconnected, the work of a triune God and the means of grace. And then when we think of rain, then especially in the scriptures, it refers to the pouring out of the Spirit, as I read in Isaiah 32, verse 15. Because there we read of a solitary city that has become as a wilderness with wild animals, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest. And in Isaiah 44, verse 3, what precious words and what precious promise, fathers and mothers, have you turned it into a pleading that I will pour my blessing upon thy offspring and my Spirit upon thy seed. And now in this solemn, it is a solemn of praise. The general thought is that David has penned the same by the Spirit when the ark was brought up to the city of God. That is one of the first things that David has done when he has defeated the enemy, all young and old, has that need for the ark, and that points to the Lord Jesus Christ. Has that been experienced in our hearts? And then the first verse, that is the same verse that we find in Numbers, when the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire has moved, and then they said, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him. And then David was given to sing the praises of the Lord. And then David has mentioned special reasons. How is it with our prayers and with our thanksgiving? Can be so general. Can we close the day with simply saying that we thank the Lord for all his blessings, and of course with a confession of our sins with the need of forgiveness? Or are there times that it becomes more particular? That there are times that we confess particular, acknowledge the Lord for particular blessings which we have received. And it is our great sin that we are such unthankful creatures. Do you have trouble therewith? unthankful creatures. The earth so full of the Lord's goodness and so empty of his praises, and our great sin that we are so unthankful for all his common mercies, few people upon the earth that are as blessed as we are, and even unthankful for special mercies. And now David is given to mention a few reasons why you must praise the Lord in the verses 5 and 6, for the family circles, also the mourning. Oh, then we have more reasons to thank the Lord when in our family circles, no empty places are those families. Also, in the last school year of our Calvin Christian School, 3 young students ushered into eternity. Then David has reflected back and given to speak of the blessings which the Lord has granted through the wilderness journey. And now in our text, an other reason, thou, O God, did send a plentiful rain whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. How has it now been when we have seen the rain? Were there humble and broken hearts, few tears? Or could we see it all and so little impression? Job, in Job 23, verse 16, is stated, for God maketh my heart soft. Have you asked for it? For a soft and a humble heart. Have you asked the Lord? As I read in Romans 2, verse 4, the goodness of the Lord that leadeth to repentance. And now the need for rain. Our boys and girls understand it. When it does not rain, what then happens? Then the earth, and when we consider the weary land, then we can consider the land, the ground. We can consider the plants, and we can consider the farmer and all much spiritual instruction. And then, boys and girls, you know it. When it does not rain, then the earth becomes hard. Not much wants to grow, thistles and thorns, but not crops. And there are those countries where there are famine, even today, boys and girls, that had nothing to eat. Even boys and girls today that have starved to death. Thus then the great need for refreshing rain. But when we look at the crops, maybe sometime you look at it, where there's irrigation, the crop is so nice and high, and then the corner of the field, there the plants are so small, and finally, limp, turn brown, and of no rain, they shall perish. thou didst confirm with a plentiful rain when it was weary. And that is now a picture of the church. That is now the work of the Spirit to refresh that thirsty earth. Of course, as living people, we all have desires. The Lord remember those that are subject to depression, even despair, when it can seem so impossible. May you then be given to look up at the Lord, for whom nothing is too wonderful. But now that dry earth, that is now a picture of natural man, because in paradise, there was not dry earth. I read in the first chapters of my Bible that a mist went up from the face of the earth to water. The earth was also lushy, also green, but now through our sin, and that is now a picture of natural man, of his heart, of that dry earth, unfruitful. Nothing is willing to grow except thistles and thorns, until the Spirit of God be poured upon us from on high. And when that takes place, because in the land of Israel was different than in Alberta, boys and girls, then in the summertime it was the dry season. And then at the beginning of October, then they received the early rains. And then it was possible for the farmer to take out his plow and plow the earth and prepare it for the seed. And so it is necessary by the Spirit that an early rain descends, and that the plowshare of God's holy law that may turn that earth over in the way of uncovering. And then when the Lord works, oh, we have said it, we all have desires. What do our desires go out after? And of course, there are good desires, lawful desires, desires that the Lord has created us with. The Lord granteth many good and beautiful things upon this world. But now concerning those lawful desires, is there now a period? Or does it now include the Lord? That with the earthly desires, that our heart is drawn out unto the Lord. And then in this afternoon, then we shall not speak of those sinful things. Oh, what a thirst there is for sinful things. And that just like salt water, what takes place, boys and girls, when we are thirsty and we drink salt water? We would be at an ocean, and we would satisfy our church with salt water. Then we only become thirstier, and soon we die. The wages of sin is death. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. So then it refers more to little plants where the seed has been sown, and by renewal, another year of instruction. Then God's word has been opened for our children. May I ask you, children, how was it now in the school year? Were there times that some rain has fallen and that your heart has become a little soft? Bible stories that you have not forgotten. But now we need not only the early rains, because also in southern Alberta, then crops are planted, hopefully with prayer, with a looking up unto the Lord, with an impression that we cannot make one little seed germinate, and then those little plants begin to grow, but they need continual rain. And when there is not continual rain, then we see those little plants. Oh, it is true. I read in Hosea 14 that the work of the Spirit is also compared to the dew. And then in the morning, a refreshing dew, then those plants, they may revive somewhat. Are there souls that understand it? Because the Lord has a people that are so glad with the smallest. No, it is not the foundation. But I read in Psalm 86, verse 17, as show me a token for good. But then by time it is noon hour, then those plants, they start to fade away. And that is what our text speaks about. And then you can picture, boys and girls, a field with no irrigation, or a corner of a field where there is irrigation, and then those little plants, if they had eyes, they would look where there is rain and water, where they are nice and green and nice and high. And that is not strange to a soul where the Lord begins, because I read in the gospel of a man whose sight was restored. And in the beginning, he saw men as trees walking with such a holy jealousy. But we read in our text of those that are weary. That speaks of the living church. That speaks of an exercised church. And oh, those weary little plants. Why are they now weary? Oh, they must not complain of the Lord. Lord is a faithful God, and He teaches His people their need, their want, their sins, to make room for that precious Jesus. Are there a few weary souls in my midst? Or no weary souls? Satisfied. And of course, for timely things, it is a blessing. When we may be content, an impression of what the Lord grants. But what about your soul? We are traveling to eternity. And now the Lord, by His Spirit, makes room for His work. He does not waste His grace. And what is that people now weary of? Who wants to make a beginning? Oh, in the first place, weary of self. Oh, in the beginning, when that seed may germinate, a root downward, a blade above the ground, few more blades, grows up, so fresh, so green, so lively, many a tear that is shed, those lively desires to come up to God's house with a profound impression of what sinners they are. and then the hope, as they read in Psalm 84, to go from strength to strength, to become holier, to conquer this sin, to bury that one, and so to appear before the Lord. But when the Lord now withholds that rain, withholds his help, then they learn what poor creatures they are. What a murmuring, what a sins, ah, Lord. Shall it now never become better? Must I not always sin and grieve against such a good doing and such a just God? Oh, then how weary, because when it is the true work of the Lord, then the devil, the true people of God, they know what it is. An assaulting and a mocking devil, together with her unbelieving heart. The devil many times comes with truce. Oh, what a questions, what a riddles. That people can also become weary of waiting. Many times in God's word, we read of a waiting people. And when you ask that people, they shall not say, I am just waiting. But they shall be unable to tell what they are waiting for. It is the work of the Spirit to work that thirst, that waiting. And then between the time of promise and fulfillment, we shall give an example. Abraham. How long did he wait? Many times it is stated 25 years, but when we read the scriptures closely, has also dwelt in Haran some years. General thought is perhaps 5. Then you can understand how weary Abram became when he received visitors, because he had a beautiful name, but not the fulfillment. How many children, we shall not multiply it out. Weary of the temptations of the world, weary of unbelief. Oh, there can be times when the Lord comes over that such souls, they tell the Lord, Lord, now thou hast come over in such a remarkable way, answered prayers, special providence shown, that thy name is wonderful, Almighty God, and now I hope to always trust in thee. Childlike trust, all my needs. And Psalm 30, the verse 6 and 7, thou hidest thy face, and I was troubled. And then such doubters. Oh, many reasons to be ashamed. Weary. Discouragements, disappointments. Proverbs 13, verse 12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Ah, then those weary little plants, what do they do, boys and girls? It's also given good. Also the work of the Spirit to grant a true prayer. Oh, then I hear one sigh, Isaiah 64, verse 1. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flee away at thy presence. Oh, then what psalms we have concerning those thirsty and weary souls. Psalm 63, verse 1. Oh, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth and longeth for thee in a thirsty and dry land where no water is, to behold thy power and thy glory in the sanctuary. Oh, those weary plants, I hear of one in Psalm 13. Four times we read the expression, O Lord, how long? Forever. You know what many times the fear of those little plants can be? That the rain shall come too late. And that happens in the realm of nature. All farmers know what it is to daily, of course not on Sunday, that is the Sabbath day, but the other 6 days that we go and look at our crops, and then it can be for many days that we think, if now it still rains tonight or tomorrow, then I still have a crop. But there comes a time when the rain comes too late and no crop. But that is not so with the Lord's planning. And the Lord comes at his time in his wisdom, and then he shall refresh those weary plants, and those souls shall know that it is not by their free will, not by their doing, because boys and girls, you can understand that we cannot cause it to rain, and therefore I read in our text, Thou, O God, that is an adoration, the only one that can open the heavens. I read in Ecclesiastes 1, verse 7, that the rivers run into the sea, and the sea is not full. How can that be, boys and girls? If you look at a big river, day and night, the water runs away into the sea, many miles away, and yet the sea does not become full. Think you have learned it in school. Then the water evaporates from the sea, forms clouds, and then the clouds come inland, and then the Lord commands the clouds to drop water upon the thirsty earth. Is that not a wonder? What a power that it takes for such an abundance of water to arise out of the sea and to come inland, and at the Lord's command for the clouds to drop that rain upon the earth. Ah, the earth is filled with the wonders of the Lord. And I read in Psalm 111, verse 2, the works of the Lord are great to them that have pleasure to seek them out. And now the psalmist had a deep impression. Thou, O God, did send a plentiful rain. Thus that speaks, we have mentioned, the power of God. He is the creator and the upholder of the heavens and of the earth. Also speaks of the Lord's faithfulness. Read in Genesis 8, verse 22. Seed time and harvest, it shall not cease. Speaks of a sovereign God. Because the Lord, in His sovereignty, the time, the place, the amount. Read in Amos 4, verse 7, as the judgments of the Lord, that it rained upon one city, not upon another. Farmers know what it is. When it rains on the neighbor's field and not on theirs, then to agree and to be glad for our neighbor, but also the other way around. And where does it bring us? Does it humble us? David, it is clearly written, he had a profound impression. Many times it is said, it rains. Is that so proper? And not to become over religious. But in our text, I do not read that David says, it has rained. But thou, O God, did send a plentiful rain. And then to consider upon whom that rain falls. And that is a sinful and an unworthy people. And yet the Lord so good. The Lord so faithful. If the Lord would do as we deserve, what do you think, boys and girls? What would fall from heaven? Oh, then maybe one says, then as it was with Sodom and Gomorrah, it would rain fire and brimstone. Or, as the seventh plague, it would be hail. It's also a wonder. Many airplanes in our day, they have a screen. Tells you where you are, how far your journey, how fast you are going, head or tail winds, but it also tells the temperature. And even in the summertime, it's freezing very hard. And yet, thou didst send a plentiful rain. And now we have stated an emblem of the work of the Holy Spirit. To send the showers of a Spirit. And we ask for it in this hour. What has been your prayer when you came up to God's house? Have you all prayed with a special request? Have we prayed for one another? Oh, when we have seen the rain fall, plentiful, refreshing showers, has it now been turned into a prayer and says, Lord, the realm of nature, thou doest wondrous things. Thou refreshest the thirsty earth. How wilt thou also do it in the midst of the congregation of Fort McLeod, upon the boys and girls, young people, middle-aged and elderly ones, Lord, those that are not thirsty, not so desirous for thee and for thy word. Wilt thou then work by thy spirit, wilt thou begin, and where thou hast begun. For those thirsty ones, may it please thee to satisfy their thirst. Those rivers that come forth from thy throne, the work of a triune God, Lord, wilt thou grant those further leadings? Let us first sing. Psalm 169, the three stanzas, thou visitest the earth in love, and sendest showers from above, enriching all the land. And what follows, 169, the three stanzas. have plentiful rain as an emblem of the work of the Holy Spirit. The need for this plentiful rain, the giver of this plentiful rain, and now thirdly, the blessing upon this plentiful rain. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. And do you now know what becomes the wonder for that weary people? Where that people learn that they weary the Lord with their sins of commission and omission, but also with their unthankfulness, that covenant God, that he does not become weary. The prophet Isaiah, we read it in Isaiah 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, and neither is weary. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance. That rain does not fall all places. There are many places upon the earth where formerly it has rained so richly and so abundantly upon a living church, and where now it never rains no more. Revelations 2 and 3. Churches that were prospering, but the candlestick has been removed. There are places where the rain becomes more sporadic. I read in Ezekiel 9 and 10, that the Lord stood on the threshold to depart. Is that ever our fear, our concern, our pray, Lord, leave and forsake us not? A great blessing and privilege to be under the external administration of the covenant of grace. Oh, my young friends, never depart from the old truth. The false prophet Balaam, he has exclaimed when he saw the children of Israel, the tabernacle, the pillar of cloud and of fire, the tabernacle with its court, and the encampment, three tribes on each side. Then he had an impression, and then in the way of prophecy has declared, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. He had an impression. What a blessing and what a privilege it was to be a boy or girl to dwell in one of those tents. But 1 Corinthians 10 verse 5, it was not all Israel that was Israel, a remnant. And now in our text, when it speaks of the inheritance, that is the inheritance of the Lord. That is that chosen inheritance by the Father from the never begun eternity. That is a purchased inheritance by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is also the acquired inheritance by the work of the Holy Spirit. And now, boys and girls, you know it. When it rains and when it is so dry, then in a very short time, then it turns green. And then those little plants are refreshed. And so it is with the true church of God. How does he now confirm his inheritance? Oh, it is true, a privilege, a blessing, a token for good, enabled in God's house to hear our name mentioned, and her name is mentioned. We are excluded or included. Oh, when a soul with many riddles, many perplexities, when they as a thirsty one, or when that thirst is grand, can be with the first singing or the organ playing before the church in a solemn way, that it is also used all part of the worship service. When they may hear their name mentioned, when the work may be confirmed, but more so, when the Spirit leads his people further to come to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God, to be enabled to behold him who was white and ruddy, and the chiefest among 10,000s, whose name is Jesus, because it is especially the work of the Spirit. John 16, verse 14, he shall glorify me, he shall receive of mine, and show it unto thee. And the further leadings, as I read in Romans 8, the testimony of the Spirit and how it is confirmed, when by renewal they may drink of that refreshing fountain. Our last thought, the contextual praise for this plentiful rain, because we have heard it. Verse 3, but let the righteous be glad. Are you a righteous one? It says in verse 3, let the righteous be glad. Have you ever learned that you were an unrighteous one, and that you needed the righteousness of another? Because Jesus in Jeremiah 23 verse 5 is called the Lord our righteousness. And that refers to justification and to sanctification. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceeding rejoice. That's not to end in the gifts, but to end in the giver, sing unto God, sing praises unto his name, extol him. What does that now include? A profound impression of our unworthiness. To be given to meditate what I deserve, what the Lord gives, the source. Oh, what privilege when a child of God may be exercised. Give us this day our daily bread, that for the child of God, that the outward blessings, that they come through the channel of the mediator. A confession speaking to one another shall also be a repentance of our sins, also for our murmuring, for our complaining. And when it may be true that true thanksgiving, that shall grant a tender and a close life, careful and not to grieve the Lord, then it shall be a soul that shall be given with the Lord's help a desire to trust in the Lord for the future. Ah, the world. We read in Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots and in horses, but we shall trust in the name of the Lord. Ah, the world, they trust insurance, vaccinations, the list is long, but blessed that people. Oh, to make it clear, congregation, what would you now think of a farmer that receives such a plentiful and timely rain that his crops would flourish and the next week he would go to the insurance office to have a policy on his crop? Then I think even our young people can understand how unthankful it would be, and how is it now possible that the Lord can give those plentiful rains and showers upon a sinful people, original and actual sins. The showers of the Lord's blessings, the showers of his grace in pardoning. Does the Lord then overlook sin? Can never be, congregation. Not one of our sins that the Lord can overlook. They must all be punished. But how is it now possible? And that is now the wonder of grace, that the Son of God has come upon the earth, taken all the sins of his children upon him. He is hung on the cursed cross between heaven and earth. And there he has cried out the fifth crossword, I thirst. And in the way of suffering and death, he has merited those showers, those plentiful showers for his people, for his children. And that wonder only becomes greater. Young and old, with water, we cannot live. Oh, how many travelers in the desert have perished. We need the plentiful showers of the Holy Spirit. Oh, ask much for it. Faithfully use the means of grace. Earnestly seek the Lord. While it can yet and while it may yet, oh, beg the Lord that he may grant you that living thirst, as it is declared in the scriptures, for the things of God, because if that does not take place, then at the day of our death, where must we then go, boys and girls? Matthew 7, two ways, two peoples, two destinations. And then I read in Luke 16, oh, here upon the earth he had plenty. He was richly blessed. But the goodness of the Lord did not lead to repentance. And then, in hell, he saw happy, happy Lazarus in the bosom of Abram. And then a request for water to cool his tongue was denied. It was too late. And that forever and ever. Oh, do seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near, because people, the Lord has a prepared people for a prepared place. And young people, I hope you did not have the wrong impression concerning that weary people. They are given to taste the sweet things of the Lord. And even with their weariness, you would ask him, now weary soul, would you now want to trade with your former life? Oh, boys and girls, ask that the Lord may convert you early, that you do not have much of a former life. Would you now want to trade with the world? Oh, it is true. Asaph in Psalm 73, when he saw the world, no troubles it seemed, but he came into the sanctuary and saw their end. Ah, then that people would say no. Rather a thirsty soul. Oh, I am so privileged that I may still come up to God's house and you may taste something of the service of the Lord. Then you would never desire the world, such a blessed service. But a prepared people for a prepared place. And then here they may have a little beginning. Then they are in their element. That with temporal and spiritual blessings, they may receive a low place, a humble place, with a vehement desire to praise the Lord. We have heard it. It is in the context of the ascended King. It is only through him. Romans 11, verse 36, there it is written, but we shall close with verse 19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Selah. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we have heard that it is thou that granteth that plentiful rain each time by renewal. And it can be in the life of thy people that they try to live off of former blessings in former times. But when thou withholdest the rain, then they become so weary, but now it is also thy faithfulness. And thou wast promised to never forsake the work of thine own hands. Lord, wilt thou grant unto the family circles opportunity, freedom to speak of what they have heard, fathers and mothers to their children, but also fitting between husbands and wives. Wilt thou so watch over the congregation in this week, the mothers at home with the children, the daytime, the night watches, at work on the way, wherever we are called to be, keep us under thy good care and thy kind protection, keep us from sin and temptation. Oh, above all, keep us from an unprepared death. Pour out thy spirit upon us and our dear children. Grant traveling mercies, pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 404, 3, 4, and 5. Ye creatures in the sea and creatures on the earth, your mighty maker, praise and tell us matchless worth and what follows. 404, 3, 4, and 5.
Thank you.
the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.